Gap spending bill that was approved by the House that would fund the government through September. Democrats insist on a 30-day funding bill. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer saying that Republicans lack the votes to get their plan through the Senate. Parts of fire-scarred Los Angeles County are under evacuation orders. There are fears that torrential rains could unleash mudslides and destructive debris flows. After 9 months stuck on the International Space Station, a couple of astronauts will have to wait a while longer before heading home. A launch pad glitch forcing SpaceX to delay a mission to the space station. The Dow down 175. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Celebrate twice as much with NordVPN's birthday deal. Get 72% off and a coupon for up to 1 year free. Visit NordVPN and discover the benefits. Secure up to 10 devices with a single account. Encrypt your online traffic. Reduce the risk of phishing, scams, and malware with NordVPN's Threat Protection Pro. Get the special birthday deal at NordVPN.com. Additional terms apply. NordVPN.
I'm going to let you in on a little wireless hack that can cut your cell phone bill in half. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile have convinced you need unlimited data. Fact is, most people don't. Pure Talk only charges $25 a month for unlimited talk, text, and 5 gigs of data plus hotspot. Stop overpaying for wireless. Dial #250 and say spend less, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month with Pure Talk.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Four teenagers have been arrested and charged with carjacking a 76-year-old woman. Police say the suspects forcibly removed the woman from her car in the 3200 block of Washington Boulevard just before 5 on Tuesday morning. Police spotted the vehicle shortly before 3 a.m. Wednesday, and three 15-year-olds and a 16-year-old were taken into custody. One of the 15-year-olds is facing carjacking charges as an adult. State police are increasing patrols for the St. Patrick's Day weekend. Troopers from all 23 barracks and the State Police Impaired Driving Reduction Effort Team will focus on aggressive, distracted, and impaired driving, and there will be increased saturation patrols along roadways with high DUI incidents. In Baltimore and the metro area, troopers will be out on all of the major state roadways from Friday through Monday. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Rapid Radios are instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Dean Kramer continued his lackluster spring yesterday in Sarasota, pitching into the fifth inning of a 13-5 loss to the Braves. The first four were okay, but the right-hander allowing a couple of runners in the fifth, allowing 7 hits, 4 runs, and 2 homers overall, bringing his spring totals to 12 innings pitched, 11 earned runs, and 6 home run balls allowed. Ryan Mountcastle homered for the second consecutive game, and today the Birds are in Dunedin, Florida. Kate Povich faces the Blue Jays at 1:07 p.m. NCAA basketball last night, Patriot League final. Navy denied their first trip to the NCAAs in 28 years by American University. 74-52 the final in D.C. AU head coach and former Terp Dwayne Simpkins after the game.
First tip of hat to Navy, formidable foe. Beat us twice in the regular season. First time, I mean, they whipped our ass. They took it to us.
But not last night, as the Mids finished 15-19 on the year. And finally, the move to expand the NCAA men's tournament to 76 teams is heating up. Big 12 Commissioner Brent Yormark is on the record as in favor and believes it could come to fruition beginning next year. This year's tournament begins 1 week from today. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Ravens' big defensive tackle is going home. And that is Stein on Sports.
Stay and relax with Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills with easy check-in using their digital key. Just download their Hilton Honors app. Whether it's a corporate event in Owings Mills, a leisure event, or get together for drinks at the grill, you can always wake up to a made-to-order delicious breakfast to start your day. Reach out to their sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills at 410-654-0030. You can always count on the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
At 10:06, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Mostly cloudy, cooler for us here today, although look for a little bit of sunshine to mix in at times this afternoon, mid-50s, down around or just above 40 tonight. Cloudy Friday, a little more sunshine mixing in tomorrow afternoon, upper 50s. Cloudy, milder, upper 60s, Saturday, rain Sunday. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's 43 in Dundalk, 42 in Owings Mills, and 42 in Moncton. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM. CBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. I wish I could tell you that we've been having this, you know, lovely, bubbly conversation the past hour, but we have not. Sadly, we have not. We have a 12-year-old that was beat down in Essex by a group of kids. And we also have a 76-year-old woman that was carjacked by four teenagers in Baltimore City. And, Joe, I appreciate you calling in. Obviously, you know, you do call in. Some people that call the show with the Trump derangement syndrome don't call in at other times. So I appreciate that. But I do implore you, Joe, to go check out the video. And this is why I have classified it myself as a hate crime, not that I'm anybody of authority, but 12-year-old Kaysen is a white boy, and all of those that were surrounding him, taking his pants off, beating him down to the ground, and filming it all, they were all kids of color. And if you listen to some of the things that they had to say to Kaysen while they were beating him down without anybody coming in to intervene, then you would come to the same conclusion that I have. And which is, this is a hate crime. It is not to stir up white people in the audience. It's not to do any of those things. I don't have to do those things. If it was a young black boy that was in the same situation, guess what? It would be a hate crime. And so I'm calling it as I see it. It's a spade, right? A spade is a spade. This is what I'm seeing right now. And nobody's going to tell me to not classify something as a hate crime when it clearly is. And that's what I'm hoping in 2025... Now that we're dismantling DEI and all these other things that are based solely on race or, you know, sexual identities, stuff like that, hopefully at this point in time, we can have serious conversations, real conversations. What happened to that 76-year-old woman in Baltimore City, what happened to Case in Essex, none of that had to do with President Trump. None of it had to do with white supremacy. None of it had to do with anybody being oppressed. None of it had to do with being, you know, diversified, equity with inclusion. It didn't have anything to do with any of that. These are out of control juveniles that know that they can get away with any crime they like. And so they are out here committing crimes. It's just that simple. I do hope that the No More campaign, where we were talking about that, you know, that's gone viral with Governor Westmore. I wonder if they're going to take on the juvenile crime issue. I know it's probably not in their wheelhouse just because they're really showing exactly how much money's being spent under Governor Westmore. But I did repost something they put on X this morning. It was a great post. It says, meet Maryland's King, Majesty Governor Westmore. And again, they've got all these photos of him in this video. Because these are photos that he posts, right? Some of them might be AI, but you have to put your face into the AI app to get, you know, the AI image. And so they are calling him out. But I would love for them to call out he and Vincent Schiraldi on what we're seeing with these juveniles. Again, back to this conversation with you all, because you all want to weigh in. I got Grace in the text line. She says, Cam, love your show. Regarding this little boy who was beaten in Essex, I agree that it was a hate crime. I really don't think Westmore cares because he's white, sad to say. Yeah, unfortunately, Grace, that's going to be the case for little Kaysen. And it's sad. But this is why we're talking about it today. I got George in Essex. George, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, actually, my name is Chris.
I'm sorry, Chris. It says George. I apologize.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. I just wanted to say, ask you this, because I haven't seen the video. Did the kid, like, at first, when all this was going down, did he try and defend himself or fight himself off of at least the one kid who came at him first? Or did he just, like, kind of just walk off and, just take the punches and figured it would stop?
So when the video starts or begins, from what I've seen, it starts with him already on the ground, and he's, like, balled up trying to shield his face, basically. And so you've got kids on top of him at this point already kicking and punching him.
Well, see, that's the one thing I wanted to just kind of address this. When I was a kid, I was faced with situations like that. And, my mother showed me, or actually she came out while I was probably younger than Casey, I guess, a group of kids. I was a new kid to the neighborhood. And I can't remember if there was any black kids around, but it was a group of them. And they were messing with me. My mother happened to come out while it was happening. She knew I was scared. She saw that I was scared to stand up for myself. And she told me, she said, "Is this the one messing with you? Kick his you-know-what." And I said, "Well, what if he bites me?" And she said, "Bite him back." So at that point, I gave that kid a whooping.
Yeah.
After that, they left me alone. And that's the thing that I see when you have, some of these parents, they don't teach their kids how to defend themselves. You go after the one with the mouth, and you give him the whooping, even if you're up against a group, or you go against the biggest one,
yeah,
and you whoop them, they're going to leave you alone.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that started out that way, but, you got to stand your ground, and you got to fight, and you got to fight until you got no breath left in you.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right in that, George. And you're correct in that, and I do believe. Thank you, Chris.
Right.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend. And I do believe that there are, not a lot of kids being taught self-defense. I think that's why some kids are so easy to pick up weapons these days. It is unfortunate, but true. Ed in Edgewood, did you want to weigh in on a 12-year-old case and being beat down in Essex?
Yes. Hello, dear.
Hey.
I love your show.
Thank you.
You are very informative, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I grew up in Southwest Baltimore. I've seen these things happening since I was a child, okay? This all began when the parents' rights were taken from them for correcting their children, okay? A child can go to school and say, "My mommy beats me, and she doesn't feed me." But in reality, the child did something very, very wrong and did without dessert. But it's already too late. The counselors are involved. Child Protective Services comes in, and they scoop these children away. And what the children learn is there are no consequences. There's nothing that can be done about anything because you're of underage. And that's how the law works.
Yeah.
Parents are afraid to correct their children because your children can be taken away from you at any moment. That's pretty much all I have to say. I'm not going to get into detail of things I went through as a child. I went to Betsy Ross School 68 in Southwest Baltimore, and I had to go to School 200 because that was the next grade up. That was sixth grade. Getting to school was not a problem. But coming home from school, I was confronted many times. Once I crossed over Frederick Avenue, I was safe. And it was because I had to go into a colored neighborhood. I was taught there's one race, the human race.
Yeah.
I was misled.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think so as well. And thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate you. And as Ed pointed out there are a lot of parents that can't do a ton and feel like they can't do a ton. But I will also note this. There are also a lot of parents that don't care. Okay. And you have that in a lot of these situations. And it sounds to me like Ed had great parents. And I could be wrong, but it sounds like he had great parents. There are kids growing up today that are really just on their own. And whether people want to admit it or not, and I guess this is why they push the rec center so hard. This is why they push, you know, many of the mentor programs, things like that. Because they know that a lot of these kids, they have parents that had them to get a welfare check. I mean, are we going to really have this conversation? Are we going to circle the wagon on this? There are kids that are being born into society because they come with a check. Or because a young woman believes that it will keep the man that she wants. Okay? We can have these conversations one day. I'm not going to have it today. We do have our guests at 10:30. But let's be honest. A lot of these kids are not cared for. That is why they feed them breakfast, lunch, and almost dinner at school. That is why during the COVID pandemic, they were so afraid that kids will go hungry if they didn't serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner at schools, even though they were closed. That is a thing. That is real. I've got Carolyn in Lithicombe. Carolyn, do you want to weigh in?
I do. It concerns me that it seems to focus on the issues that happen and the crime that happens. It focuses on age rather than the severity of the crime and the severity of the crime as it applies to the victims. This is... Why would you just focus on age? I don't believe that children don't know what they're doing when they're beating up a little kid laying on the ground or pulling a 76-year-old woman out of a car. Yeah. That they know that. Nobody can tell me they don't. It's built into our system, into our morality that God gave us. And I think that the severity of the crime is really the issue, yeah, rather than the age. And I don't think they're going to get better if they're not dealt with. So, I mean, the children that are causing these crimes, doing these horrific things, there should be maybe juvie schools with psychologists in there, in those schools. And this is a way of correcting them. Maybe showing them good videos, of course, of the we want to have the academics in there, too, so they can read and write. A lot of times, I think children feel defeated if they can't read and write or have any correct thinking.
Right.
And I think that could be corrected in juvie schools. It doesn't have to be a jail. We don't have to say it's a jail, but they're going to be in there for, yeah, depending on what the severity of the crime is and the frequency, yeah, that they do these crimes. And with a psychologist in there, with maybe even some of the people that, you know, buddy up to these children, as you say, the parents aren't always there now. And if they are there, they don't really keep a good watch on the children, don't care that much. They are interested in their, you know, dollar that they get from the state or whatever. And it's just going to have to be a different way of teaching and having them all together. It will be like an incarceration, but it's the only way I see that they'll get them all together, teach them, keep them in one place and not roaming the streets. And having them understand that, you know, they are not the prime person they think they are. That the severity of the crime that they imposed on a 76-year-old woman or an 8-year-old boy or whatever other, you know, type of crime they do, mm-hmm, has consequences for that victim and also,
yeah,
for their life.
Yeah.
The life of the child, and they're calling them juveniles, who perform that. How are, yeah, they going to get jobs, you know, if they have a record? This would be an incarceration of sorts. It would be as bad as jail, but it would be a school primarily.
Yeah. No, Carol, look, boarding school definitely works. I agree with you 100%. I think you're hitting the nail on the head there. I hope you have a great weekend. Before we go to break here, I do want to get to Meadow. Meadow in White Marsh, hey, my friend, I know you've been waiting for a while. Can you believe what we're talking about today?
I had to call. I heard that call that you needed some backup. You know what I mean? It's, yeah. It's like everybody's pretty much touched on everything I want to say, but just follow me. You know, Trump came back in office, and guess what? The laws are on the books. Guess what? We got the illegals in check, don't we?
Yep.
I mean, it's great. So now the laws are on the books, and this isn't going to be very popular when I say this with a lot of people, but I'm not saying that the black people are responsible for all of the crime. I'm just saying that they're responsible for the majority of it, okay?
Yep.
And, you know, I'm a big old white boy, you know, Kim, 6'3", 225 pounds of white dynamite, and I get the mean mug every day when I encounter black people. And I love everybody. You know, I have a lot of friends that are from Africa that are Africans. That's why when somebody from Baltimore City says, yeah, I'm African-American, I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not at all. You're not even remotely like an African. Yeah. These African people, they are beautiful people. I mean beautiful, religious, Christian people. My next-door neighbor, Samuel, and his three beautiful children and wife, I love them more than anything in the world. I'm telling you, they are like family. And I tell you, you know, these black youth, they're out of control.
Yeah.
We need to put them in jail. The lady was talking, all can be a, you know, a school of sorts. No, it can be a jail cell of sorts because the laws are on the books, Kim. We're not enforcing them. It's out of control, you know. And here they come around 695, and it's always a Kia. And they wipe out, and it's always a black person. And that's all I have to say. It just pissed me off, and I had to call. You're the best. Have a good day, Kim.
Thank you, Metal. You do the same. We get back, we'll continue this conversation.
Joe Hartman of Perry Hall Investment Group. You have a house that you need to sell but not sure how to go about it? We're local and family operated. We bought hundreds of properties from people just like you. We pay top dollar, buy an as-is condition, and best of all, there are no closing costs or real estate commissions to pay. Our process is very simple. Let's chat over the phone for a few minutes about your property. We'll set up a time to take a look at it, and I'll make you a cash offer right on the spot. Easy as that. We take the inconveniences and the hassle out of the home selling process. Call me today, 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200. HousesForCashBaltimore.com. Go check us out now. We buy single family homes, row homes, townhomes, multi-rentals, and land. It doesn't matter the condition or location. Call 410-989-5200 to receive your offer. I want to earn your trust and business, so don't delay. Call today.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, Pete Hegseth says the Department of Defense does not do climate change crap anymore.
Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and co-workers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Don't forget, we'll be joined in just a little bit by Assemblywoman Vicki Flynn out of New Jersey. She had a great article about trans and women's sports, but also we're going to talk to her about New Jersey flipping red, see if we can learn anything here in the state of Maryland, because we're trying to do the same thing. But they are definitely accomplishing it up there. We were talking about the 12-year-old boy, Kaysen, that was beaten down in Essex. Just a little note here. I did end up sending the video to my friend Mitch. Good morning, Mitch. Mitch, he sent me a message and said, hey, can I just see the video? Because he wanted to see whether or not he believed it was a hate crime. Mitch himself is black. He watched the video, texted me back and said, you know what? I couldn't even finish the video. And this is absolutely a hate crime. So again, to those that believe that this could possibly not be a hate crime, if you don't want to watch the video, I'm telling you right now it is. And you know this by what the kids are saying as they're beating Kaysen down, okay? This is, you know, I think that's even why Keith Daniels on Fox 45 noted that in his report. He said at the end of his report, Well, police are telling me they're not classifying this as a hate crime. He said that because he's insinuating there that even he believes, most likely, that it's a hate crime. I've got Kurt in Edgewater. Sorry about that. I pressed the wrong one here. Kurt in Edgewater. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Keep eating those beet juice. It's got you going good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I just want to commend you for, backing any little kid, irregardless of color. Color doesn't matter. Racists talk racism. So I just want to commend you and not letting other people call you a racist. I think Joe is starting to show what a phony I've always known he is. He's always got BS with him. But I just want to say I really think you're doing a real good job, and just want to commend you, like I said, because they should back kids, irregardless whether they're white, black, or anything in between.
Yeah, Kurt, I'm with you 100%. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend. Also, Alex in Baltimore. Alex, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think it's a hate crime. I do think that these attackers did have racial hatred in their hearts. The problem comes down to the definition of hate crime laws. White people are not officially a group. During the last 10 years, when the left was doing all this anti-white legislation and white people were getting beat up, a lot of white people went to these BLM protests to support Black Lives Matter, liberal white people in 2020, and they got beat up. Women got raped. Some people got kidnapped. There's anti-white violence everywhere. Every time a white person attacks a non-white person, it's a hate crime. But if you Google random attack, it's always an attack on a white person. It's always random. And my point is, this is the fault of the Republican Party. When people went to the Republicans, who should be opposing this stuff, and said, hey, can we get some protections? We're being discriminated against. You always say the left is racist, but can we get some protections? They were told that they were evil identitarians who were buying into the Marxist lie that there are divisions between groups. So I put this squarely on the Republicans. I'll give you a great example. Donald Trump was recently tweeting about the situation in South Africa where white people are being killed and their property is being taken. His first tweet, he said certain groups in South Africa are being discriminated against. And then recently he referred to them as farmers. There's black farmers in South Africa. So it is the official position of the Republican Party that white people don't exist. Anybody who brings it up gets told that there is no race. We're all the human race. So if you want this to be a hate crime, you first have to change the rhetoric around the white race within the Republican Party. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Alex, I don't think you're wrong, but I guess that's what I'm trying to do here today. No?
I think if you ever made it to Washington, you would be sat down by some authority figure, maybe Mike Johnson, and he would tell you of the perils of stoking white racial consciousness, whether they've bought into the lie that the Marxists push, that when white people do identity politics, people always get hurt, or whether they have some other agenda. Again, no offense, you're just a radio host. You're not somebody who's going to get this across the finish line in the legislature. I think that the people who could do it never would. And that's an interesting conversation. I think you should talk more about why white people don't actually exist officially, according to Republican politicians.
Thank you, Alex. I got to take a break here. But you know what? He's not wrong. And one day we will talk about it. Coming up next, the Assemblywoman for New Jersey.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The White House has withdrawn the nomination of former Florida Congressman David Weldon to head the CDC. The action reportedly prompted by concerns that Weldon lacked the necessary votes to win confirmation. Facing a midnight Friday deadline, Senate Republicans hope that today could be the day that they'll pass a bill to avoid a government shutdown, but they'll need some Democrat votes to do it, and it seems Democrats not willing to play ball in the Senate. Amid concern that environmental regulations are strangling energy development and the economy overall, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin is taking action. He's cutting through mountains of regulatory red tape, says it will save American families a whole lot of money. Russia's defense ministry claims its forces have driven the Ukrainian army out of the biggest town in Russia's Kursk border region. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 70 points. More details, srnnews.com.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
It is the season of change in the NFL, and the Ravens are no exception, and a lot of it yesterday, starting with veteran defensive tackle Michael Pierce, who after 99 games in the purple and black, called it a career.
After nine seasons, after much prayer, talking to my family, just going through the grind, man, and just being satisfied where I am, looking forward to doing other things in life, I just decided to call it a career.
Pierce finishes his career with 238 tackles, 9.5 sacks, and one interception, which, by the way, happened on the final regular season play of his career.
Zappy. Oh, big foul touchdown. My goodness. Michael Pierce.
Don't kneel down, Big Pierce.
What are you doing?
Don't kneel down.
I was about to go crazy as a 365-pounder.
We actually were all going crazy. Other Ravens news, the team tendering an offer to Ardarius Washington, re-signing receiver Tylan Wallace, and releasing safety Marcus Williams. Orioles injury news update, Gunnar Henderson took ground balls yesterday for the first time since straining his right intercostal, that's a ribcage muscle, he hasn't played in 2 weeks. Birds in Dunedin this afternoon, Kate Povich takes the hill against the Blue Jays. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Terps are on their way to Indianapolis. And that is Stein on Sports.
Want the truth about investing in retirement? The stuff Wall Street does not want to tell you? What if there were a strategy to capture significant market gains without the risk of traditional markets? Interested? Bill O'Reilly here. Would you like a retirement strategy that allows you to retire with confidence without the fear of running out of money? Then please talk to Rod Barowie and the Safe Retirement Solutions team. 410-266-1120. 410-266-1120.
Cooler out there today, mostly cloudy skies with a few peaks of sunshine through the afternoon. Highs today, mid-50s. Down around are just above 40 tonight. Cloudy Friday morning. More sunshine mixing in tomorrow afternoon. Cool, upper 50s. Warmer this weekend. Mostly cloudy, upper 60s. Saturday, chance of showers Saturday night with an even better chance for rain on Sunday as we finish the weekend. High Sunday afternoon in low part of the 70s. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What if your business could see beyond what is and into what can be? Whether you're a local shop or global enterprise, Bank of America gives you access to a range of business solutions to help make every move matter. What would you like the power to do? Find out how at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from their professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine. And also, we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, starting March 17th at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, we are going to put a pin in the previous conversation, and that is, unfortunately, the 12-year-old Kaysen that was beat down by violent juveniles. And unfortunately, like I said, I don't suggest anyone really going to find the video. I do hope, now that, well, of course, we've got awareness on the situation, I do hope that social media ends up taking it down and banning it. This 12-year-old does not need that circulating. Also, the 76-year-old woman that was carjacked by four teenagers. We will continue to watch to see what happens with the 150-year-old that we're told is going to be charged as an adult. So we'll stay on top of that story. Also, I am going to read some of your text messages about both of these cases in just a bit. I see that we have over 42 text messages that came in, and so I want to make sure that I get to those because I do appreciate you guys texting in and listening to the conversation. Right now, we are going to be joined by a friend, a new friend, I could say, of mine. She's an assemblywoman in New Jersey. Her name is Vicki Flynn. She's very busy, and we appreciate her time. Good morning, Vicki. How are you?
Good morning. It's so good to be with you today.
No, absolutely. You know, the national conversation lately has been about trans people in women's sports specifically. We don't hear a whole lot about it when it comes to men's sports, but I was able to read your piece on it. And if you could just, you know, tell the audience a little bit about your background, because I do want to know more about what an assemblywoman does in New Jersey. And then also, if you could tell us more about this piece that you wrote about trans in sports.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am one of two assembly people who represent Monmouth County, a portion of our state, which is the first part of the Jersey Shore. And we are what would be similar to like the House of Representatives in Congress. So each, there's several districts, 20 plus districts throughout the state where you have two assembly members and a senator. So we kind of mimic like two House of Representative members, you know, House of Representative and senators here in New Jersey. And our job is to enact laws that impact the entire state and represent our constituents in doing so. And then we have a governor who's similar to the president. The governor of New Jersey has extraordinary powers, and we can go, that could be a whole different lesson. But he then signs our laws or vetoes them. But I'm a Republican here in New Jersey, and while I am thoroughly supported in Monmouth County, which is a strong Republican county in the state of New Jersey, when I go to Trenton, I am in a distinct minority, to the point that all the Republican members of the assembly need not even show up to vote on legislation because there's a quorum without us. We got decimated in the last election, but we're hopeful that in the next election, we are going to take back that assembly because the entire assembly is up, and as well as the governor. One of the issues that we're grappling with here, which I don't understand why Democrats are grappling with it, has to do with men playing in women's sports competitively based on an identity that they believe they have. In our state, the New Jersey and at the high school level, you're governed by the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association. And they permit teenagers to identify as whatever gender they would wish, and then they can compete competitively in high school sports. And what we're seeing on national level, we've seen some of the, and this has also happened on the college level, although the NCAA is now dialing that back. But we've seen the damage that can be caused when people who are born as men play in women's sports. There is a distinction. And so I wrote an article to pretty much say, this soccer mom, and I'm a mom of three girls. They've all played sports. I have two of my girls play very competitive soccer, and they have no match to the men. We're home to some of the best soccer players internationally, one of them being Carly Lloyd. She went to my alma mater, Rutgers University, and in 2015, I believe, the U.S. women's national team, which everyone will acknowledge is the best in the world, played a U-15 Texas boys team and lost 5-2. And when Carly Lloyd was asked about that, she said, "What did you expect? They're bigger, faster, and stronger than us. It's how it is."
Yeah.
So I don't know how from 2015 to now 2025, it's become acceptable to allow women to be subject to that type of competitive experience when in sports we have acknowledged the distinction in everything. One of the examples I gave was that got me really jazzed up about writing this article was even if you look at Gabby Thomas, who's deemed the fastest woman in the world as of last year when she won the gold medal in the 200-meter race. She had an incredible time in that final. However, she did not break the slowest man time in the preliminaries. Because we understand, even at that elite level, there's a distinction between men and women. So I don't know why we're ignoring biology and science when it comes to competitive women's sports. And it offends me, too, with Title IX having been you know, enacted. It's as old as me, practically. I think it is the same year as when I was born. I don't know why we're trying to use that as a vehicle, which I believe diminishes women's rights in the sporting arena. So that's why I wrote two articles on it. Because my first article was written before Gavin Newsom went and did his first podcast and said he agreed with this philosophy. He didn't think men should be playing in women's sports,
yeah,
transgender or not. He just said no. And I'm kind of now, and as I mentioned earlier, we have a governor's race coming up, and I want to know where these candidates stand on this issue. Because I do believe that's how, I do believe if the voters of New Jersey knew that the Democratic candidates stand with men on this, they don't stand with women, I think it makes their vote pretty clear when it comes in November.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. If you're just joining us, we're speaking to Assemblywoman Vicki Flynn, and it's LD13 in New Jersey, correct?
Correct. Lucky 13.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I appreciate your time this morning, Vicki, because I did want to get into this, because right now, I mean, the governor's race you guys got going on is huge, right? You've got Scott Pressler there knocking doors. You've got all kinds of people out here hitting the ground, hitting the streets. Right now, I guess when you're looking even at the Republican primary, the candidate in the lead, is it Jack right now?
Yes, Jack is absolutely in the lead.
Okay, yeah, and from what I could tell, again, I'm in Maryland, so I don't know. I'm just looking at what you guys have going on social media. But from what I can tell, it does seem like New Jersey will end up flipping. I wanted to just kind of get your feedback on that, and I agree with you that, you know, this whole conversation with trans and women's sports, I think that this will have a lot of people voting Republican.
Yeah, I mean, I just was in a breakfast with several veterans in our community here, and when they were asking me, what have you been working on lately, and I told them this, and they were totally offended. Our veterans expect more from us. These people went out and fought for our countries, and this is what we're doing to our country as a thanks to them? They're not happy. They're not happy about going to their grandchildren's games and seeing this type of nonsense going on. So they just told me, keep up the fight, get on that podcast, and let's flip this state. They are very upset about it. So that's just like one example in the last, you know, 10 minutes. But I did receive calls from some of my, look, I have nothing, I've been a lawyer for 25 years in this state. I have relationships on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
I am open to all discussions. And I love it. That's the part about I'm a part-time legislator. But being this legislator has really renewed my love for the law. I love being a lawyer. I love the law. I love law school. So I love having these academic conversations about the law. But in the end, I also am a Jersey girl who's a hard worker, and we have a lot of work to do to fix the state. And I think if we continue, I hope I inspire other people to be other Jersey people who just want to do common sense to run for office, to get in there so we could do the work to get things done. We could fix New Jersey. We have a $58 billion budget being proposed by Governor Murphy in his last term. All right, before his term began, the budget was like $31 billion.
Wow.
It's $58 billion. I was watching the Democratic debate. The best question I told the moderators of the debate was from a student. A student came up and said, if we continue on this trend, he said to the Democratic candidates for governor, by the time your term is over, the budget in New Jersey would be $90 billion. What are you going to do to stop that? And that's the question. We're going to continue, and I think that's what I tried to do with proposing that question to the governor candidates on the Democratic side. I know what the Republicans are going to do. They're going to reverse this policy, you know, day one, or hope, or maybe day five. I don't know. But it's going to be a priority, because it is a priority to New Jerseyans, to all the soccer moms, all the former athletes, everyone. It's an 80-20 issue.
Yeah.
There's no, and it's probably even, if you even sample it even more, it's probably even higher. Like, they have to address this issue, but we also have to address the economic mess that has been created by one-party Democratic rule for now. I think we're going on like two decades. We did have a Republican governor for a while with Chris Christie, but we didn't have a Republican assembly or Senate. So
yeah,
we got a lot of work to do to fix New Jersey, to make it the great state that it is economically. And I'm committed to doing it. I work with people that are committed to doing it, and I'm doing everything I can to get that message out, to make sure the voters come out and we really turn New Jersey red in November, and I think we can do it. I know we can do it.
Yeah, well, Vicki Flynn, I can tell you we have similarities here in the state of Maryland. We have budget issues. We also had Governor Larry Hogan. He served two terms. He's a Republican, but unfortunately we had the Democrat majority in the Maryland General Assembly. So whatever he proposed, of course, it was, you know, voted, it was overrided by, you know, the General Assembly. So we have the same issues. I guess, you know, another question before you go here, and I do appreciate your time. Do you have the crime issue, especially the juvenile crime issue there in New Jersey?
Yes. Yes, I was listening to, when I was on the phone waiting to come on, I heard that you had a carjacking with teenagers, right?
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was, when I first was elected about 4 years ago, that was a big issue here coming out of the pandemic. We had carjackings, car thefts on the rise. I introduced a package of bills that were pretty much put on the side to collect dust. Because in our communities, in the communities I live with, I live right off, if people know, like, the Garden State Parkway, which takes you from the northernmost part of the state down to Cape May, which is exit zero. So it transverses the entire state. And then you have the turnpike. People were going into communities like, you know, right off those spots, stealing cars. And at first it was, oh, you can leave your car fob in there. You got to stop doing that. All right, we're making excuses for people walking on your property and taking your property. All right. So people started locking their cars, bringing their car fobs inside and putting them inside. What happened? We had this dramatic increase of home invasions going on. And I, at this time, I have young drivers out here, and then you'd have people stealing cars and driving in the early morning hours, teenagers doing that because they were being targeted by very sophisticated crime rings. Because these cars are stolen, they're taken to the port, put on a container, and shipped overseas. And you know what the Democrats are doing? Nothing. So I kept talking about it and talking about it and talking about it and talking about my bills. And every time there was a car theft, and then the press started covering it because people were infuriated. Yeah. Guess what? Months before their election, the Democrats took my bill, watered down, and introduced their own. They allowed me to be a co-prime on one of them. But so what? It was like one bill here, one bill there. It didn't address the overall issues that we allowed this crime theft ring to get out of control, because we have this. This also happened on the heels of bail reform. You know, when kids, I'm sitting here in Homedale right now, these teenagers would get picked up and they would be released. Any adult can come and sign them out, and then they would do it. They would be found again doing it the next night. There's no consequences. And we're letting, and that's because when they did the school shutdowns, we could have a whole other conversation about that, because during COVID and those school shutdowns, I was the Board of Ed president in Homedale, and I got our schools opened. And I was infuriated that anyone was letting those schools stay closed because of this. This is what it was going to lead to. It was going to lead to crime because you had kids not in school. We still have high absentee rates. The absentee rate in our state for schools pre-pandemic was 10%. It's still hovering over 20%. And that's because of these type of Democratic policies that let this state get out of control. It was the shutdown, it was bail reform, and no one cared. And that's why I get offended that the Democrats say they care about people, they care about families, they care about kids. Those policies demonstrate they don't. Now we have a lot of work to do to put the genie back in the bottle, and it's put a lot of stress on all of our communities. And it's raised property taxes because we have to pay overtime for the cops. It goes on and on. But that's why we need people who care about New Jersey, who care about kids. They need to be elected, and I'm always around to support it. And I hope you, and I know you are someone that's been like, that has done that walk too. And I hope you get those type of people representing you down there in Maryland as well.
Well, I appreciate that. Assemblywoman Vicki Flynn, LD 13 out of New Jersey, thank you so much for your time today. And it sounds like you're doing the work, and we appreciate you 100%. And like I said, there's a lot of similarities you have there in Jersey that we have here in Maryland. The difference is it sounds like your voters have had enough. And so I hope that we get to that point here. But Vicki, again, Vicki, thank you so much for your time, and keep up the good fight.
I will. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. And again, that's Vicki Flynn. She's an assemblywoman in LD 13. And as you heard there, she also served on the Board of Ed there in her district as well. You see, this is what's so interesting. As you heard what Vicki was explaining, of course, I had no need to interrupt her in any way. It gives you chills because it's exactly what we have here going on in Maryland. And even she's talking about the rising of property taxes to pay for police overtime. I mean, it literally is the same exact thing. The only difference is New Jersey is about to flip red. The voters finally had enough. They had enough with the violent crime. They had enough with the juvenile crime. They had enough with this conversation with trans and women's sports. They had enough, obviously, with the rise in taxes and the fees. They had enough of Democrats completely ignoring it. They had enough of the Democrats just steamrolling them into a budget they can't afford. And now they're flipping Jersey red. I guess the point of this, the moral of the story, is don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Because if they can get tired of it in Jersey, I'm sure they can get tired of it here in Maryland. When we get back, I do want to read your text messages. Also, Don Jr. had a huge endorsement, and we are going to talk about what happened in Annapolis just yesterday.
Hi, I'm Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Over the years, my feet, knees, and back were in pain. That's why I turned to Good Feet Arch Supports, relieving pain and keeping me active. Try them for yourself with a free fitting and test walk. Visit goodfeet.com.
What if your business could see beyond what is and into what can be? Whether you're a local shop or a global enterprise, Bank of America gives you access to a range of business solutions to help make every move matter. What would you like the power to do? Find out how at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness.
Attention all kitchen and bath remodelers. Now for over four decades, Chesapeake Kitchen Wholesalers offers wholesale pricing on premium kitchen and bath solutions. At Chesapeake Kitchens, let our showroom be your showroom. Call 855-WE-DESIGN or go to ChesapeakeKitchens.com.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com. The Morning Drive with Casey and Elliot.
There are men and there are women. There's an XX chromosome, a woman, and an XY chromosome, a man. That's it. And anything else, they are mutations.
You have a very, very slight chance.
That's it. That's it. You can feel like anything else you want. You can claim that you're anything else you want, but that's it.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9 with Casey and Elliot on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
All right. Again, if you're just joining us, maybe you caught the tail end of that interview. That was Assemblywoman Vicki Flynn out of New Jersey's LD13. And she is fighting very hard up there, as our Republicans do here in the state of Maryland. But that was kind of like a story of hope, right? There's light at the end of the tunnel, possibly, because they have obviously the same issues. But like I said, they're flipping more seats there in New Jersey. And Scott Pressler, who is phenomenal at registering voters, he has already began. I can't remember exactly which district he's in currently, but if you follow him on social media, you'll see that he's already began knocking doors and registering voters and trying to flip a couple more seats there in Jersey. And I do believe it's Jack. I want to say, is it Citarelli? Is that how you say his last name? I get this wrong all the time. But I follow Jack on Facebook, and he seems to be doing very well running for governor there in New Jersey. And I saw even like his launch party, his campaign launch party. Believe it or not, I do have some friends in Jersey. And a lot of that's, you know, because of my PAC, we supported a lot of those candidates. And we'll even support some, you know, coming up here in the midterms. Billy Prempe last cycle only lost by 2 points there in Jersey in a very, what used to be a blue district. But we think he's going to win this time. But beyond that, they were all at his launch party, whether it was Craig McGraw, who's also an assemblyman. You had Darius Mayfield. He was running in Jersey. He just recently moved to Virginia. He's running in District 7. And then you have Billy Prempe. He's up there. He's running. That's the one I was just telling you about. But there was all kind of, oh, and Dan up there. There's a lot of people in New Jersey, by the way. Clyde Cook. Well, they were all at this big launch party for Jack. And it was literally standing room only. Like, you could not move. You could not move. And I saw the pictures and the videos. I mean, just the, I guess just the excitement about Jack running, number one. But you could tell in that room, I mean, the optimism, the, you know, the, again, the excitement. They know that Jack is going to win this thing. And they've been working very hard. As soon as he could announce, he did. And that's why they've been crisscrossing the state already. And I'm excited to go up there when Billy has his events and a couple other candidates have their events. Because Jersey, you know, that's the next state to flip. That's going to end up being a swing state. I know many people are going to be shocked by that. But people in New Jersey have had enough. I hope in Maryland. I hope we have the same thing here. I do want to get to your text messages. Some of these, of course, many of them are about the juvenile crime, whether it was the 12-year-old in Essex that got beat up by a group of juveniles, and then also the 76-year-old woman that was carjacked by teenagers. I got a text here. It says, I'm horrified about the 12-year-old who has been beaten up. My stomach hurts and my heart is breaking for this child. This is obviously a hate crime. Thank you, Maryland leaders, for embedding the critical race theory into corrupt education system here. I don't care how old the perpetrators are. They all belong in jail. And I agree with you on that one, Chaya. I've got Doug. He says, morning needs to be a new version of reform school for kids that get in trouble. Take their phones away, limited TV, and make them stay in a place for a set time and learn what they did was wrong. Doug, I'm with you on that. It's definitely going to take some time. It will take some time. Let's see. You've got Marty pointed out that there was one or two girls in the video who tried to comfort the young boy towards the end of that video. Yeah. You know, I'm sure these kids are young. They know what they did is wrong, and there are probably some kids that feel really bad about this. And I'm sure that, you know, the police are already involved, so that means their parents know. And I'm sure some of the kids that actually have decent parents, some of them are being punished currently for it. Let's see. I got Wes says, where is Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton? That's a good question, Wes. You know, they're nowhere to be seen on this. Let's see. Gene says, Kim, these little thugs should be charged with assault and battery. When the pants were removed, that's a sexual assault. You know, Gene, great point. Didn't even think about that part. You're right about that. Let's see. Alex says, Kim, we can hear that you're upset this morning. What a horrible, traumatizing experience for this kid. Hopefully he does not turn into a vigilante when he gets older. Alex, yeah, I'm with you on that, and I hope that he doesn't harm himself. That's another thing that I think about with these young kids and these videos circulating online. You know, what does that do to their mental state? I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it can't be good. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about what happened in Annapolis just yesterday and Don Jr.'s recent endorsement.
Comcast Business helps turn today's small businesses into engines of modern